It's a beautiful Wednesday. The Lord is good. We are pressing forward. We are moving forward in spite of it all. We keep moving forward. And that is Rhema Worship this morning. And hello to you, my family. I am Sibongile Mofokeng. This is Just For You with you up until 11 o'clock right here on the airwaves of 657 AM Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Thanks to Vane and Russo and Janine for a beautiful, beautiful morning. And may the Lord bless all. May the Lord bless all that they will be doing. Let's continue to pray for Kosovo and trust in God. Let's stand in the gap. People do not know about the Lord, or people are taking it light. And we were just sharing just now with Umvain and Russo and Janine that some of the things that people say to us whenever we tell them about the love of Jesus Christ, some of the things that they tell us, some of the things that they say to us as the Christians, these will ring in their ears through eternity. And this is what Umvain and Russo says, this will ring in their ears for eternity. And we were talking how late that would be, how late that would be. And so that's why we need to make haste. The Bible says that the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Can we be those laborers who talk and let them know that Jesus loves them? And also, sometimes we can't talk to them. They're in Kosovo. They are in North Korea. They are in those spaces, but we can pray for them. We can pray for the love of God. I got disturbed. I think it's movies from Korea, but I'm not quite sure if it's the South or if it's the North. But I was watching movies. There are these movies. I think you know about these movies that you would find, or even if it's not a movie, but it's a series that you would find on your TikTok. And they are coming from these countries. I was disturbed by the treatment that they are also giving to the poor. And I think through a movie, you can tell a lot about a country. You can tell a lot about people in that space. So, yeah, let's keep praying and trusting God. And for you who knows Jesus Christ, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It is a Wednesday and we are back again with Kiredi. And on the line, I'm joined by Dr. Inga Mgaleli. We're talking men's mental health. And she's going to tell us more about that. Dr. Mgaleli, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
So excited to be talking to you again today. Always awesome to talk to you.
Always.
Mara, before we go to men's health, some of us have got scratchy throats. Some of us have got ears that are itching. We are going, you know, all those things. Oh, what advice do you have for us in this season?
I think people must watch their symptoms, and then maybe, you know, depending on what's happening. I mean, we are still in flu season.
Yeah.
And the weather is changing.
Yeah.
So it could be flu, could be allergies. We also are still having monkeypox. The numbers are increasing. Remember we spoke about it last week.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think people should just watch their symptoms, and you know, if there's anything worrisome, definitely see a healthcare provider.
So today we're talking mental health, men's mental health to be specific, because of the month of July, and we want to know more. Tell us about mental health and men. Where do they connect? So some of us, we look at our men and we believe they should be strong. The society that we live in, when you have a child, a boy, he's told boys don't cry, tigers don't cry. This is what they are taught. And they are taught not to express their emotions as well.
Yeah, that's true. I love having conversations about mental health. And I think it's very important for us to, I think it's very important for men and boys to also have this conversation. So it really, you know, this is really, really exciting, and I think it's really, really important. But I think what I'll do is I'll define what mental health is, and then I will say, you know, why it's so important for men to be also actively involved in this space. So when we speak about mental health, we're talking about emotional, psychological, and social well-being, né? It's about being, you know, it's about being well balanced. It's about having good coping skills. It's about having good ways to adjust. It's about having good ways or healthy ways to deal with life, essentially. And it's also about how one takes care of their self. There's this concept of self-care that we talk about. And I know that media portrays it as this very luxurious, concept, but really it's about feeding your own needs and feeding your own interests. It's not like about taking bubble baths and, you know, this concept that social media has portrayed. It goes much deeper than that, this concept of self-care. And in addition to that, of course, there is things such as therapy and talk, like talking and counseling, that also plays a role when you speak about mental health. I haven't gotten to the topic of mental illness yet. I'm just speaking about mental health and how one can cultivate that. And the reason why it's so important when we speak about men is because already when we look at health statistics, we know that men have poorer or lower health-seeking behavior compared to women. We see this when we look at different kinds of stats, HIV stats. We see it when we look at just any stats. You'll see that men tend to go to doctors or healthcare providers less often, even when they are experiencing more complications related to whatever condition that they may be having. So that exists already with just general health conditions. But it's even worse when it comes to mental health. Yeah. And you've rightly said, you know, there's this ideology that is instilled in men, even from a young age, when they're growing up as boys, that they should be strong, they should not cry, they should not express their emotions. You know, they sort of need to be the strong one and just get through it. And so that ideology feeds and it grows with them as they get older. And it's a really big problem because, yeah, even when we look at the stats of death by suicide, it's higher amongst men. So we see that it is a very, very big problem, and we need to have a conversation about it, you know, so that we can address the challenges that are there. So that's why we're speaking about mental health, and that's why we're speaking about mental health and men.
Sure. So what are the common mental health disorders affecting men?
Yeah. So there's a lot of different conditions, because now we're talking about mental illness, which we're talking about psychiatric diagnosed mental illnesses. So when we look at men, at the top of the list would be mood disorders. So depression, bipolar. Bipolar is more common in women, though, depending on the age group, but we tend to see it more in women.
Yeah.
But it is also, men do also get bipolar. The interesting thing about mood disorders in men is that they don't present in the typical way that that's with the textbook. So I'll give an example. For depression, it's like we're looking at a depressed mood, we're looking at loss of interest, low self-esteem, ideas of suicidality. Whereas in men, they might have the ideas of suicidality, the low self-esteem, but in them, the mood may not necessarily be a depressed mood. It could be irritability or anger.
Okay.
And then the other interesting thing in them is that they will have self-esteem, but it will manifest, manifest as very, like, toxic, over-the-top behavior because they're trying to overcompensate for what they're feeling. And so that can confuse someone when they are, you know, trying to make a diagnosis, because those are not symptoms of depression per se. I'm just flagging it here because, you know, typically in men they don't present with depression in the way that we know depression to be. And then of course anxiety, stress-related disorders.
Yeah.
A very common one in men is also schizophrenia, which is a type of psychotic disorder.
Okay.
Quite common in men. And then PTSD and substance use disorders as well. Very, very, very common.
Sure. Is it? I don't know, but you correct me, Dr. Inga. Is it that they present with your substance abuse and some of these because underneath there's depression? Could it be?
So we have different types of disorders. So we've got the mood disorders, and then in the mood disorders, you've got depression, you've got bipolar. Then we've got another group of disorders that anxiety disorders. So there you've got people who have generalized anxiety disorder, they'll have panic disorder, they'll have acute stress disorders. And then you've got another group of disorders, psychotic disorders. That's where people have schizophrenia and things like that. But the thing about mental illness is that you don't have to have, it's possible to have more than one thing, and that's typically what we tend to see is that someone will have depression with some anxiety, or someone will have bipolar, and when we diagnose bipolar, it's further classified. So you have bipolar that's accompanied by psychotic features. So you've got bipolar that's accompanied by the perceptual disturbances, hallucinations, hearing voices, things like that. So you have a main condition, but it's sort of it's further subclassified. That tends to be what we see when we are dealing with a mental illness. So you have someone who has depression, but they also have an element of anxiety. But you can also just have depression, and you can also just have anxiety. But that is what we tend to see at times.
Okay.
It's possible to have more than one disorder.
Okay.
But of course, with this, remember, it needs to be diagnosed, and you have to fulfill a criteria. In order to say you have depression, in order to say you have anxiety. But we use these terms very loosely.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm stressed. I'm depressed. And you're like, no,
yeah,
you're not.
Yeah.
But now, what are the signs and symptoms? I'm thinking of somebody using substance. I'm thinking of somebody who's got some sleep disorders. They can't sleep or they sleep too long, eating disorders as a result. What are some of the symptoms in men?
Yeah, so like I've said, for a person, anything that deviates from their norm or feels like an extreme to what they normally, what their mood tends to normally be. So we experience sadness and happiness and anxiety, and we experience these on a day-to-day basis. Mm. But once something is, you know, excessive, or it's prolonged, or it affects your day-to-day functioning, those are the red flags to say, look, maybe, you know, there's something bigger that's happening, and maybe you need assistance. And the assistance, you know, can be different. Maybe you just need to talk to friends. Maybe you need to talk to family. And then sometimes you need professional advice.
Mm-hmm.
But you've rightly said, so once your sleep-wake cycle is disturbed, so you could either have insomnia, which is you not get sleeping, or you have hypersomnia, which is you sleeping way too much.
Mm.
And we tend to see that in people with depression and schizophrenia. And then if your appetite changes, so you either have no appetite at all, or your appetite is, you know, you've got a very, very, very big appetite. And then things like lack of motivation, like you don't want to do anything, you're not interested, you just don't want to participate in anything.
Mm.
Or you get fixated, like you get hyper-fixated on one specific thing. We tend to see that in people who have bipolar.
Okay.
They hyper-fixate on like one specific thing. But in a way that's not normal, in a way that's very excessive.
Mm.
And then things like difficulty in concentrating, and like I said, it's affecting your ability to perform your day-to-day activities.
Okay.
Then definitely it indicates that you're not coping, and that you do need some kind of assistance. And like I said, that assistance depends on what it is that's going on.
Hey, Dr. Inga Mkaleli, how soon should we be seeing the doctor when we're seeing those symptoms? Because some of us will try everything.
Yeah.
We'll drink this.
And
they discuss. So so-and-so will say, I did this. And then the guy will also go try. So how soon should we be seeing the doctor when we're seeing these symptoms?
Yeah, so I always say, because people have this idea about therapy or talk therapy or counseling. But for me, that's, look, I'm not saying it will solve all your problems, but it really does make a difference when you are going through something or you are experiencing something. Even if you don't necessarily have a mental illness, just if you are going through something, it really does make a difference in terms of equipping you. So I like to use this analogy of a toolbox. Uh-huh. And that's how I think about therapy or all of the psychological and psychiatric interventions. I like to think of them as a toolbox. Or I like to think of you having a toolbox, and then what happens is, let's say you're building a bridge, for example, and you have all the tools that you need to build a bridge. Mm. But perhaps you might be missing a screw or you're missing a specific part. I don't do DIYs. Let me say you're missing a hammer. Mm. And now you notice that you can't proceed with building a bridge because you don't have the screw or you don't have the hammer.
Okay.
I mean, people who are they don't suffer from a mental illness, they will be able to troubleshoot in that instance, and they will find a way to build the bridge, and they'll continue. That's when you don't suffer from mental illness. But when you have a mental illness, whether it's acute or chronic, then you find that your life falls apart because you can't find, like, you don't have the screw or you don't have the hammer, and you try this and it doesn't work, and you try that and it doesn't work. So when you go to therapy or you go on medication or whatever intervention you get, it gives you the screw or it gives you the hammer or it gives you an alternative way to be able to build the bridge so you can cross the river.
All right. But Dr. Mkalele, the truth is what we said at the beginning. Most men don't seek help. Even when it comes to mental health, I think it's worse because it challenges their masculinity.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, there's this fragile and toxic masculinity that exists in our communities, and it's more common, you know, in certain communities more than others. And there is also, you know, like you said when we started this conversation, this idea that boys and men must have masculine traits. So. Strength, they must be strong, they must not show weakness. And so those are the ideas that prevent men from seeking health care advice in general, but it's even worse when it comes to mental illness. And then there are other expectations that society puts on men that makes it difficult for them to be vulnerable in that manner. So men tend to suffer in silence a lot of the time, and we really are trying to change that narrative because the statistics do show that, you know, men are it's a problem, you know, the numbers are higher when we measure the rates of suicide and people, you know, when we look at the insurance claims, we can see that it's higher amongst men. Interestingly, we were having this discussion on our Instagram Live last week. So it was quite interesting. And there, a doctor who's a male happened to join us for the conversation. So it was quite refreshing to hear his perspective as well on why, you know, men have poorer health-seeking behavior. And it's exactly as you said, the fragile masculinity and the societal expectations and, just this fear of not wanting to be put a certain way. And then, of course, there's stigma and that is attached to mental illness. And that's very difficult to overcome. And I can imagine it for men.
So it's time to break the stigma. It's time to break the silence in men. But how can men then improve mental wellness and prevent suicide? Because I think so many of them also have got suicidal thoughts. Because they don't have anyone to talk to. They bottled everything inside and anything can explode anytime.
Yeah, so I think the first thing is, you know, for everyone, and this is not just me.
Okay, Dr. Mkalele, I think...
You can't hear me.
Yes, we just missed what you said now.
Okay, I was saying, I think this is goes for everyone and not just men. It's to try and establish good, healthy coping skills. I keep using the word good, and I need to say healthy coping skills. And this, you know, can look very different. People can, you know, exercise, you can journal, you can, you know, just looking after your general well-being does a lot for your mental health. So exercise, eating well, drinking lots of water, making sure you get enough sleep, you know, all those things, practicing mindfulness, you know, just trying to have a well-balanced life goes a long way in terms of helping you with mental health. But of course, when you have mental illness, these things are very challenging and these things are very different. And so at times you may need to speak to someone. And like I've said, the someone can be a friend, a family member, can be a colleague, someone that you trust. And then sometimes you do need professional help, and that can be a counselor, a social worker. Social workers actually play such a big role in our communities. It comes to counseling. And so you can speak to a social worker, you can speak to a counselor, you can speak to a psychologist.
What do you say in closing, Dr. Mkaleli? What do we say to our men?
I think what we say to our men is, one, you know, it's okay to feel. It's okay to feel whatever it is that you're feeling. Feel it and express yourself. And, you know, if you're not coping, that's also okay. That's not a sign of weakness. Actually, for me, it's a sign of strength. It takes a lot of courage for someone to admit that they need help. So that's actually not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength to say, look, I've reached my limit. I need assistance, or I'm not coping. I need help. And just for us to challenge the status quo, to say, you know, mental illness is prevalent. A lot of people are suffering from mental illness. A lot of young people, the population that's elderly, is suffering from mental illness, especially after COVID. That really did a number on us. So it's more common than we think. It's more common than we know. And that we should all just be kind to one another. And, you know, I think people should look out for the signs, and they should not be afraid to, you know, ask for help. And that can take on many different forms, you know. Even for religious people, you know, praying and all that, it also really makes a difference. It really does help. So people should just lean on their pillars of support, whatever they are. But you can't be supported where people don't know. Like, if people don't know that you need support, they can't support you. If you don't ask for support, you can't get the support.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say to our men.
How do we get and in? Support. Yes, yes. And also?
And our young men and boys.
And then, Dr. Mkaleli, how do we get in, or how do we connect with Kiredi if we got questions and all?
Yeah, so you can connect with us on our social media platforms, on Instagram, on Facebook. We also on X. We can also check out, and we use you can search us at Kiredi SA. And we've recently had this conversation about men's mental health. So you will see, you know, hotlines and numbers of places that you can call if you are experiencing a crisis or you need help. They are on our social media pages.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also find us on our website at www.yered.co.za, and any of our mobile clinics. And you can find where those clinics are going to be, also on our website and social media platforms. And then, of course, on our WhatsApp line, you can just message hi to speak to any of the doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And the number is 060-019-0000.
Wow, thank you so much, Dr. Mkaleli, for talking to us again today. We always learn something new. But there's one thing that I forgot to ask, and I think it's very important that I ask this as you're going.
Yes.
The support that we give to our men, our young boys, our young men as well, when they're going through a challenging phase mentally, how should we do that?
Yes, I think it's about trying to do it in a way that doesn't diminish the person, as you would if it was your friend or if it was anyone. So it's just still to make sure that person doesn't feel devalued or like sort of diminished or small in the nutrition up for them. So it's about learning, it's about listening, it's about listening and trying to understand you know, what is needed or what is wanted. Sometimes what is wanted isn't what is needed. And so, yeah, it's about listening with discernment, you know, also. Like I've said, sometimes what someone wants isn't what they need. And sometimes you have to be that voice to say, look, this problem is bigger than you think. I think you actually need to go to speak to a professional. Or, no, you are in a crisis. Mm-hmm. You know, you actually need to go to hospital or something along those lines. So it's difficult to be in that position at times,
yeah.
But we just need to be courageous. We just need to show up for each other. And, yeah, just be open and honest. And I mean, the biggest thing is to create a safe space, because none of this can happen if there is no safe space. And, the safe space is created by, you know, willingness to be vulnerable and willingness to listen, being non-judgmental, you know. That's the other big thing, is to say, this is okay, you know, I accept you for who you are, I accept you for what you're going through. I'm not here to judge you. You know, you're having suicidal thoughts. It's not for me to say, oh, those are wrong, that's right. But it's for me to say, look, let's do something about it.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Mgalili. We'll be talking to you again next week. Have a blessed one. And we don't tell doctors, but today I'm telling a doctor, you should be warm and take care of yourself.
Thank you so much. We actually need to practice that more. You know, you can't look after people if you're not well yourself.
We have one. Have a great one, my queen. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And here's family. That was Dr. Inga Mgalili from Kiredi. Join us again next week as we talk about general and health related topics. Send a hi to WhatsApp on 060-019-0000. And it is Kiredi on Twitter, on TikTok, on Instagram, on also on Facebook. So family, you might be wondering what's happening, but the regular live conversations that we have with our young doctors are hosted, and you can reach out to them with thoughts, questions, or comments and concerns on social media platform handles at Kiredi SA, KEREADYSA on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Speaking to a young doctor would help you speak to a young doctor and ask questions by sending hi to WhatsApp number 060-019-0000.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729, and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.